Unlock the power of your mind. This is Provocative Enlightenment with Elvin Taylor.
Welcome and thank you for joining us today. The next hour is devoted to learning something more, not just about the world that we live in, or shoes and chips and sealing wax, as my pretty partner would like me to say, but about how, what, and why we believe as we do. A time for the open-minded, willing to challenge some of those old ideas behind what we think we know, who we are, and who we might just become. I'm Eldon Taylor, and this is Provocative Enlightenment. All right, our chat room is open, and Andrea awaits you there now. You can log on by going to provocativeenlightenment.com/chat. We do have a great chat room, so Ravinder, tell us a little about it, please.
Yes, we have a fabulous chat room. It's a great group of people, in case I haven't told you that before. The conversation in there is always stimulating, educational, oftentimes very funny, but I always learn something new in there. So do come join us. That is provocativeenlightenment.com/chat.
All right, in this week's Spotlight, I'd like to take a moment to discuss the recent road trip my son and I made, evaluating the idea that the first moonwalk was the most significant achievement of humankind in the last century. When we asked folks for the truly greatest accomplishment of humankind in the 20th century, almost unanimously the answer was Apollo 11's mission to the moon. Neil Alden Armstrong's famous quote, "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind," was often cited. Now, for the record, Armstrong himself argued that what he really said, and in his view, this was critical in that the sentence made little sense unless corrected, was this: "That's one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind." There were some runner-up ideas regarding the great achievements of the 20th century, ideas such as nuclear technology, string theory, and personal computers. That said, nothing even came close to matching the numbers of those who found Apollo 11 the single most significant accomplishment of the last century. So when we asked folks about this ambitious undertaking, what did they have to say? We heard very many different answers, and I will be fleshing those out in an upcoming piece, but here's a short version. Answers varied, so I'll share a few. It was the Cold War, and we won. We beat the Russians. We should have gone on to colonize Mars. It didn't make any difference. The world is more divided today than ever. The only giant leap for mankind was technology, like smartphones. And where did that get us? People don't even talk anymore. They text instead. They're glued to their devices, and as people, we become more and more alienated from ourselves and others. Or, I think the whole thing was staged in some movie set. They never really went to the moon, or we'd have gone back. Check the internet. You will find that we never walked on the moon. That was propaganda designed to bluff the Russians. And finally, one thing is for sure, the inhabitants of spaceship Earth hate one another as much today as ever. Mankind's giant leap seems to be the media. Today we know who was killed, whose head was chopped off, who wore a bomb into a busy shopping center, and who died where and when, and all of this in a never-ending 24-hour cycle. I have to wonder what Commander Armstrong himself would say today. What are your thoughts? And more importantly, what is it that each of us can do to build toward the realization that a truly giant leap for mankind is one where the world is much more peaceful than it is today? Peace, balance, and harmony, in my view, that should be our goal. My thoughts anyway. What are yours, Ravinder?
You know, I totally agree about the peace, balance, and harmony. You look back at it, and yes, a man walked on the moon. That was a great technological advance, but there's been loads of technological advances. They're in a different category. You know, not all of us individually walked on the moon, but all of us today have these devices with us all the time. And, you know, we use technology constantly. So, you know, that is huge. But I do have the same question, you know, what has it gotten us? What, you know, what have we achieved overall? Because I think the world is more divided today. And that makes me really sad. I don't think with all of these instant ways to communicate, I don't think people are communicating anymore.
I couldn't concur more. You know, William and I happened to coincidentally be on the road at the time that NASA's Jupiter event was taking place. And NASA said that that was the most difficult thing they had ever done. And, you know, not a single person mentioned that. There wasn't a single person that talked about any of the steps of NASA. It was as though in interviewing everyone, there was a disappointment that was attached to that giant leap of mankind. Okay, every week I read some of your letters as our way of involving you while paying respect to the very important role you play in making this show successful. Last week, our show featured Dr. Larry Rosen and Ravinder, who made her debut as a solitary host. And they spoke about his book, Eye Disorder. But before I get to your letters, I must praise Ravinder. My son, William, and I were deep in nowhere land, where it was impossible to call into the station and do the broadcast. As such, Ravinder had one of two choices. She could go to a replay of a prior show, or host this one herself. Now, when she first made an appearance on my radio show, it was a terrifying event for her. And she said she would never, ever, ever host herself. So now, with very little notice, because whatever reception we had came and went with a blink of an eye, she decided to host. And when I heard the show, I couldn't have been more proud of her. She was simply fabulous, and I doubt anyone would ever have known that this was her very first solo show. So congratulations, Princess. You did a great job.
Well, thank you. I had the advantage of a great guest. He was just fascinating, but
you're being humble. That's not like you either. All right. Amy wrote, I love the show with Dr. Rosen, and Ravinder's voice is a natural for radio. I just love her accent. That's unfair, by the way, your accent. You
I don't have an accent.
Well,
everyone else has an accent. I don't have an accent.
Richard wrote, thanks for the great show, Rav. You did a bang-up job. Do I remember my British correctly? Your voice is purely golden on the air. Andrea commented, from Dr. Rosen's website, 70% of those who report heavily using mobile devices experience phantom vibration syndrome, which is what happens when your pocket buzzes and there's no phone in your pocket. You know, I can tell you what, I have certainly experienced that, and I know you have too.
Yes, definitely.
I can go 2 or 3 days and not carry my phone and it still buzzes. You know, I'm not one of those people. I mean, I often, as you know, forget my phone. I'm not glued to the thing, but it's still, my pocket will still buzz. But on that trip, never buzzed once. I think sometimes it has to do with what you're doing and how involved you are in it.
Absolutely.
All right, moving on. Shelley wrote, thank you for doing what you do. I'm trying to get my life back on track, get moving forward. Dead-end job, divorce, getting older, et al. I need a kick in the pants, and your inner talk is just what I need. Finally, Jeffrey wrote, Eldon, you are a mind I sincerely respect, and I love your programs. This compliment to you is well-deserved, my friend. Well, thank you, Jeffrey. I'm honored by your words. All right, that's all the time we're going to take for letters today, but I do invite you to opine by sending your comments to Eldon, that's Eldon, at eldontaylor.com, or by joining me on Facebook. And I want to thank all of you again for your letters and comments. We truly do appreciate you. Now to this week's show, Ending Self-Destructive Patterns, with none other than our very own Ravinder Taylor. Now we have something special for our listening audience today, and that's a free End Self-Sabotage program. Ravinder will tell you more about that and this opportunity, how long it's good for, how you can claim your program. But first, in fairness, let me tell you a little bit about her. Ravinder Taylor is Vice President of Progressive Awareness Research. She's been with the company for 25 years, beginning in the shipping department, and I mean that seriously, and working her way up in the company. As such, she is very well acquainted with every aspect of the company's operation. She currently directly oversees the marketing and PR operations, contributing editorial content, web design, copy editing, and research proposals. She left UK's Department of Trade and Industries, otherwise known as the DTI, to join Progressive Awareness. Before the DTI, she was employed at Leicester's Royal Infirmary in their public health laboratory.
Leicester Royal Infirmary.
All right, so I say
British
it.
Accent.
Okay. Ravinder holds a Bachelor's of Science degree in microbiology from Aberystwyth University in Wales. Did I say that one right?
Aberystwyth, yeah, fabulous place.
A bachelor's degree in metaphysics from the University of Metaphysics in Sedona, Arizona. She studied hypnosis and psychotherapy at the National College of Hypnosis and Psychotherapy in London, England. And she is ordained interdenominational minister. In her time at Progressive Awareness, she has acted as a senior editor of 5 international best-selling books and single-handedly launched the marketing campaign that made Choices and Illusions a New York Times bestseller. Ravinder has made numerous radio and personal appearances representing the InterTalk brand. She is also a co-author of the Peripheral Learning Desk Reference, a volume dedicated to reviewing thousands of research designs examining subliminal research. So on that, welcome to Provocative Enlightenment, Miss Ravinder.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Taylor. It's an honor to be here.
All right. Now, listen, you wanted to do a show on self-sabotage. And, when you pitch something, you generally load it all up, and it's pretty hard to say no to you. So share with us, why did you want to do a show on self-sabotage?
Well, you know, as you've said, I've spent 30 years talking to people about, you know, how they do what they do, why they sabotage behaviors. I got interested in hypnosis and psychotherapy about 30 years ago, and I started looking into it, studying it more and more. And in the process, you know, I've learned a lot. I've helped lots of customers when I talk to them on the phone. I will suggest programs to them, and they come back to me afterwards, and they're just thrilled with the results that they get. So I think self-sabotage is one of the most important issues. You think about anything that you want to change in your life, whether it's to lose weight, be more successful, pass exams, get relationships, you know, make your own relationship better. Whenever you're stuck at a point, it's going to be self-sabotage that underlies that. And I wanted an opportunity to talk about that more, you know, explain it more, because lots of people simply don't understand it. And then from the other perspective too, you know, as you've already pointed out, my own life has changed drastically since I've been working with these principles. You know, I've built on everything, you know, one by one. But take, for example, the radio show last week. Just to give everyone a real perspective out there, I wouldn't really say that I had a fear of public speaking, because that wasn't even on my radar anyway. I was so bad that when I worked in the DTI, if I had to call someone and I got their voicemail, I was so petrified of talking on a machine that I would put the phone down and go into the adjacent office where I had people working under me and say, "Hey, Tony, hey, Paul, will one of you make this call for me? Call this number and leave this message. There's a voice machine there." So that was how bad I was. Now it's improved, you know, slowly over the years. And when you started the radio show yourself this time around, because you've had radio shows before, but when you started this one, this would about 8 years ago when you started with Mind Matters, and you wanted me to participate, first of all, it was no way, Jose. I am not going to talk on the air. In fact, I remember one place where you went to do an interview, and we went into the special studio they had there. This was out in Olympia. And these were friends of ours. And they said to me, "Why don't you come and join the conversation? It's just the four of us talking around the table. Ignore all the people out there." And I was so petrified, I wouldn't even sit at that end of the room. I sat at the far end of the room so no one would accidentally put a microphone in front of my face.
I remember that, by the way.
As you've done the show over the years, you know, I talk a little bit, and generally my piece is, yes, come join us in the chat room. It's a fabulous chat room. But that's it. I really don't do an awful lot more. And then last week, you know, we had arranged. You had said to me, okay, here's all the preps. If you have to do the show, we've got everything right here. And I said, no way. No way in the world. And I worked really hard to make sure that you had a place on the road that you could go to and do the whole radio show from there. I had it all set up. I had the hotel, the conference room. I had everything all figured out for you. And then at the very last minute, you call and say, we got car troubles. Can't do it. You know, it's totally up to you what you do. Okay. Well, I had the choice. I can re-air something, or I can go on the air myself and do it. Now, because I had that way out, because I could have re-aired something, well, that took some of the pressure away, and that allowed my brain time to think about it all. And it's like, you know, we work so hard at building an audience, and you can't build an audience if you keep re-airing shows. Plus the fact we had a really good guest, and I wanted to hear what he had to say, because it impacted us all. So then I looked through the notes and everything that you had left, and I kind of tried it out, and then I went for it. And that was absolutely huge. That was huge for me to sit there, you know, you're talking, you know, kind of talking to yourself in the front end, or that's what it can feel like, but I'm just aware of all of this huge audience out there. But it was fine. And it has been all the work that I have done over the last 30 years in uncovering, you know, my own self-destructive patterns, talking to other people, peeling away those layers, forever reaching higher.
So now I have the advantage of knowing that you had a bit of a speech issue, what some people would call a stutter, and you actually attended a school that was designed to, you know, minimize and eliminate that. You had me create a custom subliminal program for you, InterTalk program. I think what our audience might be missing here is the key element to your word, pattern. The pattern, the self-destructive pattern to avoid speaking in public, to avoid receiving that promotion that would put you up in front of people, you know, explaining things, etc. That pattern, you know, when did you discover the pattern? I get the picture as to how good it feels now that you're on the other side of it, but when did you discover the pattern and flesh out a little bit of what you did to reverse that?
You know, that is a long story, so I don't know that I can go in total detail here. It wasn't something I was going to cover today whatsoever. But yes, I do have a speech impediment.
Did.
You know? You know, it's a bit like being an alcoholic. It's one no, okay. No, it really is one of those things. You don't get rid of it, you learn to control it. So yes, over the years I have used several InterTalk programs to assist me. Lots of things would help. I worked at it over and over. It was when the King's Speech came out that once again I went to the internet, started looking for different techniques, heard about John Stossel's story, and he went to the Hollins Communication Research Institute. So I went and checked it out. I attended that. That happened 4 or 5 years ago. And basically what you do is you learn to take manual control over your speech. So imagine walking and then having to think about every muscle that you use and taking manual control over it. Well, that's really hard to do, especially when you get stressed, especially when, you know, all of these things. So I did the course and it was really effective. But I came home and trying to put it into practice was very challenging. You know, the old habits come in, you know, when the kids come rushing in screaming about something, you think I can remember to control this vocal cord and that vocal cord and put my tongue here and do it. Not happening. So 6 months after the course, I was really disappointed with how I was doing. So what I did then was I took everything that they had taught on the course, and I had you create a custom program for me so that all the teachings I could learn subliminally. Now, part of this training even involves how you breathe. So maybe that will give everyone a better perspective out there. Imagine having to change how you breathe, you know, when you talk and how you enunciate everything. So for me, you know, I did the course when I was 48, I think. So that was a lot of time breathing a certain way, talking a certain way, trying to change behaviors that were deeply ingrained. So, but no, with the program that you created for me, that will only work if you attend the course. So there's no point asking for it because it won't do anything. I included affirmations there that said I enjoy talking. There are some affirmations in there that, you know, I enjoy talking, I enjoy sharing, which was a huge turnaround for me because I did not, because I was always afraid of getting stuck on a word and feeling like a total idiot.
Okay, so let's go back up a little further. I met you at the National College when I was there lecturing.
Yes.
And when I got back to the States, I sent you a program. And the program was a self-esteem program. And when you received this program, go ahead, tell the story.
I thought it was a total joke. I did not think I had an esteem problem whatsoever. I thought I was very sensible, very down to earth. You know, I knew what I was. I'm no, you know, 6 foot tall, thin, blonde, you know, perfect figure. That's not who I am. I'm just me. I'm very accepting of who I am. And so, no, I thought I was doing really well, accepting who I am and maximizing what it was that I had, but I knew my place in the world. I think that becomes a huge issue with the entire subject matter that we're talking about today.
So because you knew your place in the world, you had set yourself an artificial limitation on where you would go.
Everything.
So you began to work with the self-esteem, self-sabotaging ideas, and that began to do what?
It opened up possibilities. You know, I've worked with lots of the different Inner Talk programs. But with the esteem, first of all, I have to confess I had resistance to the program. The fact is you have these beliefs, and we'll talk about this in more detail as we go along, but self-sabotage is all about protecting yourself from getting hurt again. So I didn't want to be disappointed. I didn't want to fail at something. So I very often wouldn't even try at something. I knew my place in the world. So why bother trying and being ambitious and having these high goals? You know, if I were to go for them, I would fail and then I would get hurt. So I wouldn't achieve anything. It opened up doors and opened up possibilities. And what I have done ever since is constantly strive that little bit more to learn something more, to do something more, to grow a little bit more,
to reach a little bit higher. So the long and the short of this, if I've got it right, is beginning there, you began to uncover self-sabotaging beliefs, those limiting beliefs that said, you know, like a flea raised in a flea circus, you're not flying any higher than this self-imposed glass dome. You're stuck there, and that's your place in the world. But as you began to work with this, you began to uncover self-sabotaging beliefs, the very nature of that self-imposed limitation. And what made possible last week your radio show, you might say, was the culmination by way of one example, because there are many, and I'm not going to ask about, I'm not going to ask you to go into that, but by way of one example, the culmination of just how high is up, just something you believe would be entirely impossible for you to do.
Absolutely. How high is up is our motto around here. That's what we do. We just keep working harder and striving harder, and I'm working on more and more things. You know, I'm writing my own books right now. I've done loads of work on the internet. I don't believe in the word I can't. One of the things you have to realize when it comes to self-sabotage, every time you tell yourself you can't do something, you're blocking yourself from achieving it.
All right. In this next half, I want to learn just exactly what you think self-sabotage is, and I want to learn about this special deal that you've got, you know, for our listening audience, your gift for them all today. And, you know, I suppose we should flesh out a little more of just what this technology is or how it worked to help you change your beliefs. We're speaking with Ravinder Taylor about her life and the problem of self-destructive behavior. To learn more about Ravinder and InnerTalk, visit the website InnerTalk, InnerTalk.com. Okay, we have a video for you today featuring InnerTalk, an explanatory video worth your while. If you're listening on the dial, remember you can check the chat room out when you're next in front of your computer by going to provocativeenlightenment.com/chat. Do stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Provocative Enlightenment with Eldon Taylor.
Change has never been easier. Whether you wish to lose weight, stop smoking, build better relationships, become creative, enjoy ultra prosperity, or simply relax and promote self-healing, InnerTalk has been repeatedly demonstrated effective in the most rigorous of scientific studies. Our customers love InnerTalk. Sean wrote, "I have struggled with bulimia for over 30 years and have never been able to lose weight without restoring to it until I used InnerTalk." Vicky wrote, "My hubby has been using the Stop Snoring CD and already his dangerous and raucous snoring levels have stopped." Celeste wrote, "I recently graduated from Taft Law School with honors. I'm writing to tell you how much your InnerTalk CD, Excel in Exams, has helped me. With over 300 titles to choose from, there is something for everyone. Check it out today by going to InnerTalk.com.
Unlock the power of your mind. This is Provocative Enlightenment with Eldon Taylor.
I see trees that are green, red roses too. I watch them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of the people passing by. Shaking hands, saying, "How do you do?" But they're really saying, "I love you." I see trees of green.
And welcome back. If you've just joined us, we're chatting with Ravinder Taylor about her life and the problem of self-destructive behavior. To learn more about Ravinder and InnerTalk, visit the website, InnerTalk, InnerTalk.com. Now we ask our guests for their favorite music, music that has genuine significance to them. For music psychology is not just a new discipline, but it's a hobby of mine, and it's a field of research with practical relevance in many areas. So, Ravinder, we just played some of What a Wonderful World, sung by Katie Malou and Eva Cassidy. Tell us, why is this music important to you, and how does it instruct us about who you are?
You know, this particular version of the song, I think, is even more beautiful. It's the sounds that they just cause me to float away. The words of it is all about focusing on the good that's in the world. I think the more you appreciate the beauty around you, the more you can reflect that back, and the more that can help the world as a whole. This particular version, too, as you said, is by Katie Malua and Eva Cassidy, and it was done after Eva Cassidy passed away, so it becomes a way to honor her and her fabulous contribution. I just think it's gorgeous all the way around, and it inspires me.
Well, it does me, too. You know, that's why... Yeah, that's why I introduced you to this particular rendition. All right, now I think everybody out there has had something in their life that they just didn't believe they could do, something that they were terrified of, or something they just thought, yeah, wouldn't it be nice, you know. And your story hopefully will help many of them realize that, you know, they absolutely do have the power and the ability to do things that they may have thought were just impossible in the past. So in order to flesh that out a little more fully, I'd like you to tell us what exactly, I mean, how do we, what is self-sabotage? How does it work? How does it work out of our awareness where we really don't know that we're doing it to ourselves? And why is that so?
You see, there's an important part. How does it work when we don't even know that we're doing it? So as you said, the example that you had first of all of... you know, we've all got things that we want to do that we think we're not capable of. But there's another part of that is those things that we keep on trying to do. So the person that keeps on trying to lose weight, that guy who keeps, you know, taking that exam and keeps failing, the person who keeps getting the dead-end relationships, when cycles repeat like that, you could pretty much guarantee there's going to be some self-destructive pattern underlying it, some belief.
Does that hold equally true for, you know, I'm never going to do that again kind of things? You know, when you're thinking, boy, I'm never going to talk to my children like that again. I'm never going to lose my temper like that again. I'm never going to become angry like that again. Does this self-sabotage thing hold as equally true for that as it does for our ambitions and goals?
You know, I think it does. It does in both ways. You know, the vast majority of us vow not to parent our kids the way that we were parented. But how often have I heard my own mother come out of my mouth, like, get back in there, Mom, you know? You know, these things happen, and you have all of this programming as to this is what you're supposed to do. This is what a mom is supposed to sound like. This is your place in the world. All of that stuff is in the subconscious mind, and oftentimes it can come into conflict with the outer goal. So whatever your outer goal may be, you know, I'm going to find my perfect partner. But if your subconscious believes something different, if it believes that you don't deserve a perfect partner, if it thinks that a perfect partner is someone who's abusive, you know, then they come into conflict. And yeah, these problems just... keep on bubbling up, and we all have them. You know, I said it can work for our ambitions and our goals, and it can work for our personal issues as well, those things that we are so determined not to do, but then we carry on. To give you an example, you know, for the longest time, you know, I'm not one to bite my fingernails, but for the longest time I would chew the fingers around them, and I know it's disgusting, absolutely horrible, but I couldn't stop it. And I tried this and I tried that. Nothing would work at all. And then, what was it? I think about 2 years ago now, you know, and I'm working with our programs all the time, but I had this sudden insight, this sudden realization that even though we'd been married 24 years at that point, I didn't feel worthy of it, which was, you know, it's one of... Oftentimes, you have these insights, and you don't have to share them with other people. You know, I shared some of this in the e-news that we send out regularly. But you don't have to share everything, you know, with everyone. You can just do this inner work as well. But I'd been working with the self-destructive patterns, and I realized that I didn't feel worthy. So it was my way of punishing myself, my way of reminding myself, don't take it for granted, it could disappear. And what was really interesting about this was the moment I realized that, the moment that came into conscious awareness, it went away. I had tried and tried and tried to stop chewing my fingernails. You know, it was a horrible, disgusting habit. My hands would look bad. And what made it even worse, actually, was when both of our kids went through a spell of doing the same thing. And that's when I felt real shame, you know, because I knew they were doing it because they were copying me. And it was embarrassing and it was horrible and it was nasty. But I hadn't been able to change it. As soon as I realized what the underlying strategy was, it went. And so in the e-news that we sent out, you know, the first time I wrote about it, I said, it's 6 weeks since I've done it, and I was so proud of it. And then I wrote about it again, you know, about 10 months afterwards. It's 10 months and I'm still going strong. And here I am, 2 years out and still doing well. So, yeah, sometimes, you know, the information bubbles up, and when it comes up like that, it loses its power. Now, that's not to say that you have to...
They call that an uncovering.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't have to have an uncovering for a problem to go away. Some things don't have one single cause. They can just be the general package. You know, this is what girls are supposed to be, and girls aren't good at that. If you're surrounded by that generally, you know, that can hold you back. And guys have their issues too. You know, we all have those you can't syndromes in our background. And for some reason, our subconscious mind seems to want to latch on to those negative beliefs a lot more tenaciously than the positive ones. And it comes all the way back to the subconscious just wants to protect us from getting hurt yet again.
That's what a defense mechanism is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Defense mechanism says, you were laughed at and criticized and ridiculed and publicly embarrassed for XYZ behavior, so you'll never do XYZ behavior again. So, you know, the example we've used before is the man that, you know, has a funny smile. One side of his face raises more than the other, and he is criticized and ridiculed. And then later in his adult life, he's a stoic. And he's actually rejected by friends and colleagues because he's the dull one of the party, so to speak. So, okay, self-destructive patterns then, for all our beliefs then, they're built up a lot like defense strategies, defense mechanisms, as
yep.
You've explained it. And part of our inculcation. You shouldn't expect that you should ever have a bride as beautiful as you. And, you know, I don't chew my fingernails. I just say, thank you, thank you, thank you, okay? But given an understanding of that, how is it that you flush this out? I mean, how is it that, what is the way that you went about, you know, doing this? I mean, explain the InnerTalk technology, I guess, and tell us how that happens.
Okay. Well, InnerTalk is your technology, but it's now my baby. I've adopted this one because I think it's one of the most valuable tools out there. In fact, I do have a confession to make there. There was a time when our relationship wasn't too good. There was a time that we came really close to calling it quits.
Very early on.
You know, and even through that, I was trying to figure out, well, how can I make sure I can always get any InnerTalk program that I want?
I didn't know that.
I've never told you that one, but that was definitely there. InnerTalk works by changing how you talk to yourself. You know, we all talk to ourselves constantly. So on a good day, that self-talk is going along like, you know, I'm having fun, this is good, I can't wait to get home, look at what present I got for my son, my daughter, my husband, you know. It's all very positive, you know, you can talk to yourself about enjoying your work and how good you feel about being there. But on a bad day, that self-talk is going to be, I can't stand this. I can't wait till I get home. I'm fed up. I'm stupid. I'll never get this. I hate my colleagues, you know, and that cycle goes around and you feel depressed. InnerTalk works by changing that. It primes that self-talk from the inside out. It replaces the, I hate work to I like work. It changes that self-talk is I'm worthless, I'm useless, I'm always going to fail to I can do that. And that's the biggest one for me in my, you know, 26 years with you, 30 years working, you know, in this whole area, is changing the I can't do that to try and stop me. I'm going to give it a go. What does it matter? You know, what do I have to lose by trying? If I don't try, I won't ever succeed, you know?
Right.
So I just keep working at that. So Inner Talk is patented. It's been researched by numerous independent universities and institutions and been demonstrated effective. So we've had researchers at Stanford University, Bremen University, Colorado State University, and they all show that it primes how you talk to yourself. And when you change how you talk to yourself, you change your life experience.
How does that work?
How does it change your life experience?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was talking to a customer on the phone not too long ago, and he actually had his own uncovering. And he said that he was in his 60s, and as a kid, he had been told that he wasn't any good at math, so don't get a job that involved numbers. So his entire life, he had avoided working in that field. Absolutely. He realized now that that was crazy and dumb, and he wasn't going to let that hold him back anymore. So I think he got our math program, and he got the self-destructive patterns program. See, our ending self-destructive patterns is all about bringing back your sense of self-worth. It's about believing in yourself. It's about changing the I can't do that to I can. All of Inner Talk programs, you know, you have to understand, they all work by addressing self-sabotage. So for the person who's trying to lose weight, if they've got a belief that, oh, I have to eat all the food on my plate, because think of all of those starving children over in Ethiopia. I mean,
most of us were taught.
We have all heard that one. Or I'm stressed out. I have to have chocolate because chocolate cake is the only thing that will relieve my stress, and stress is bad for you. Well, you can have all of these goals to lose weight, but when you've got those underlying beliefs going there, they come into conflict and they will sabotage it. So that's the example with weight loss. You know, it happens with exams. If you feel that you aren't any good at exams, you will hold yourself back. You will prevent yourself from trying your best. You will waste energy on spending time thinking about the fear and thinking about why you can't. So think about that. Every time you tell yourself you can't do something, that is X amount of energy you've taken away from achieving your goal. Every time you say, oh, everyone over 40 puts on weight, you've taken something away. Every time you say, this is what old age is, I'm getting older, so it's normal for my bones to creak, well, you're taking that much energy away from fulfilling your best. So in every single area. So we have 250 odd titles, but I think the one program that everyone should have, and that was why I wanted to do this show, would be our End Self-Destructive Patterns. See, I've played Mama Claus before. You know, you have Santa Claus, well, I'm Mama Claus. And I've done that before on the radio show where people have called in. And anyone that called in, we gave them a bunch of Inner Talk programs. And I love hearing back from them and hearing how it has changed their lives. And, you know, that feels really good. But when it's based on calls coming in, well, you can only help, what, 5 people, 6 people, if we take the calls really, really fast?
Well, because, you know, that's because what we used to do is we would listen to an individual tell us their story
and give
of what their problem was, and then you would
give out programs and do all of that stuff.
So
but
continue.
End Self-Destructive Patterns, I think, is something that everyone should have in their library. And today we are going to give a free set of this to everybody out there. You look all curious at me. Yes, I've got this all figured out. What you can do in order to get the End Self-Destructive Patterns free of charge, you go to, I hope everyone's got pen and paper out there, and if you don't, you can go to the Provocative Enlightenment chat room. We'll have the information posted up there as well. But go to InnerTalk.com/store. That's InnerTalk.com/store, S-T-O-R-E. On the front page there under
.com,
of course. Sorry, yeah, I need to remember that one. I take it for granted. But on the front page there, you'll see amongst the featured items, there are several different items that are featured. But I made sure to put End Self-Destructive Patterns up in that list. So you can click on that list. On that particular item, that'll take you to the program. Choose the downloadable program and place an order for it. Now, as a coupon code, use the word provocative. Provocative is from Provocative Enlightenment, so that should make it easy for everyone to remember. So choose a downloadable version. Check out the through the store. Use the coupon code provocative, and it'll wipe that cost out for you, and you can get it, and you can download it instantly. And yeah, you could literally play it all night tonight and call me tomorrow or email me tomorrow and tell me how differently it makes you feel. Because it will. You know, I often play the programs myself that way. When I get the correct program, I feel differences very quickly. We tell people to play the program, say, an hour a day for at least 30 days, but I will frequently play the programs a lot more than that. So I play them all night long while I sleep. I can play them in the background during the day. This double set that you're getting is the music and the nature format. So, you know, if you want to play the music in the car, that's fine. Some people like to play music during the day and the nature at night. For myself, I play the nature during the day as well, because if I'm working on the phones, music can interfere with what I'm doing. Or
you actually load your phone.
I've got
with
them
it,
all on
smartphone.
My iPhone. I've got them on my iPhone. My iPhone is on my hip. I have the nature track playing. So you have to get pretty close to me to even be aware that is going on. But I'm surrounding myself in a bubble of positive affirmations, affirmations that are supporting my outer goals. I'm changing that inner programming that sabotages, that can sabotage us. I'm changing that so that it supports my stated goals. And with the End Self-Destructive Patterns, I also think of that as a, you know, super duper esteem kind of program. It just makes me feel good. And then it opens up possibilities. You know, I stop saying, I can't do that. This kind of good stuff doesn't happen to me. Because yes, it does. And I've had some pretty darn good stuff happen to me over the last 25, 30 years.
So what would you say to the person then that says, I don't have any self-destructive, you know, attitudes, beliefs, behaviors, patterns? I mean, you know, that's not my thing.
I'd say try it. That's what I would say. Just play the program. The fact is you do. The fact is everyone does. We're humans. You know, we have these defense mechanisms. You know, you cannot exist in this world and not encounter negativity. Every time you see a commercial on TV for weight loss products, well, that's not only trying to promote the weight loss program, but that is telling you you're deficient. You know, you're not thin enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not smart enough. You have to have this car to be cool. You have to have this to be cool. You know, you have to be hip and all of that stuff. And if you can't afford that car, well, that has just battered your esteem, hasn't it? You know, all the cool people drink Coca-Cola. Well, I don't like Coca-Cola, maybe. So, you know, you cannot escape it. It is there. Absolutely. All of these beliefs are there. Are there constantly. So I would say if you believe that your life is absolutely perfect, well, first of all, that's great. You know, I hope so. But I'm one for believing or always working towards the how high is up. I can always achieve something more. So, yeah, doing the radio show last week was a huge milestone for me, but that's what it was. That was not an end game for me. That was just another stone, another, you know, notch. That was another success. But I've got lots of stuff I'm working on, and I fully do expect to live to be 100. That is my expectation. So I've got at least 50 years left in order to maximize everything. And I don't believe in the common view of being old. You know, to me, old can be something fabulous because it means I've lived. It's not a negative word. It means I've lived, I've loved, I've succeeded, I've achieved more. You know, I've raised children, I've loved my animals, I've done my gardening. I have lived, I have read books, I have, you know, all of those experiences that you can't have when you're 10, 11 years old, you can't have when you're 20. I would not, for all the money in the world, go back to being the person I was at 26. I have learned way too much, and I would hate to give that all up.
Well, I can tell you this for sure. She is learning two new languages, rehearsing another language that she knows but hasn't spoken in years, playing musical instruments, teaching herself guitar, and refining her ability on the piano and the organ, constantly reading and constantly seeking just how high is up. Rudner, really enjoyed chatting with you. We have about 1 minute left. Is there a final word you'd like to leave with everybody out there?
A final word? Go get your free End Self-Destructive Patterns set. So go to innertalk-store.com. Look for the End Self-Destructive Patterns. Put the downloadable version in your shopping cart. Use the promo code, the coupon, PROVOCATIVE, and you will get that free of charge. Download it instantly. Start playing it right away. Play all night long while you sleep. I cannot tell you how many times I played that program and had answers come up in my dreams for whatever the issue was. You know, I had that with an allergy once, and I played End Self-Destructive Patterns, and there was my answer. I'd been fighting that for 9 months at that point, and it worked. So, yeah, go play it, and then let me know how you do.
And we both play them all night long. They are. Okay. We're out of time. Thank you for your work, Ravinder, and for your willingness to share it with us. We've come to the end of another episode of Provocative Enlightenment. I want to thank all of you out there for joining us, and I want to thank our engineer and producer, Eric Ryder. He makes this so easy for us. I hope you enjoyed our show, and will join us again next week, same time and same place, and do tell your friends. Until then, remember, believing in yourself always matters.
Provocative Enlightenment has been brought to you by Progressive Awareness Research and other sponsors. Provocative Enlightenment is a syndicated show and appears on other networks. For a schedule of show times, visit ProvocativeEnlightenment.com. If you're interested in becoming a sponsor, write to Eldon at EldonTaylor.com.